Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
We're honored today to have Rachel Morstan bring the word, and we started this new series last week called Anything is Possible, and I believe today that anything will be possible. So would you put your hands together and give her a huge welcome as she brings the word. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor John. I feel built up and ready to go for 2021. Do you? After hearing that, our senior pastors always bring faith and lift the atmosphere. And I'm believing that in this 21 days, we're going to see miracles and we're going to hear from God. Are you ready to hear from God this morning in your room? It's a privilege to be in your lounge with you. Wherever you are this morning, in the room, in your kitchen, in your dining room, in your lounge, maybe you're listening to this afterwards. This is a word for you for your 2021. Can I speak to your heart right now? I've prayed that God, He's given me this message from His heart, that it would go through my heart, which is a heart of love for each and every one of you, from the youngest to the oldest, and would speak to your heart and bring lifelong change. In Jesus' name, put your hand on your heart. Lord Jesus, I thank you that with man, this may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I thank you, Lord, that your word brings light, brings life, brings transformation. I thank you that your word will not return void, but will accomplish all that you intended it and purposed it to bring transformation in our hearts, in our lives. We say, yes, Lord. We say, speak, Lord. We're listening. Open your heart right now to receive His word in Jesus' name. Amen. You can take your seats if you're in the room. At home, you might want to just sit on the edge of your settee, turn up the volume, nudge someone beside you. Are you ready to hear what God is going to say? What have we got in the chat? We've got Dear Mo and Terry, we've been praying for you this week. We've got Stacey Jones. She's looking forward to hearing Rach. She's got a little fire sign. Thanks, Stace. I pray that it will be fire this morning. So Pastor John kicked off last week with letting go is possible. And all of us, I think, had to let go of something. We let go of fear, disappointment, shame, guilt, and unforgiveness. And then this morning, I want to just bring that scripture again, because some of you might have had to overcome a whole lot more again this week. But I want to encourage you with the scripture that I just prayed. Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them. Jesus is looking at you right now. He said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. He's looking at you, Stacy, and he's saying, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. He's looking at you, Dick. He's saying, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. David, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Lisa, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Put your name in there and believe this morning for your situation. Tonight, whenever you're listening to this, all things are possible. On Tuesday, the 29th of December, I went for my daily walk around the fields in Attlebridge, and I was asking God for my word for this year. You see, every year I ask God for a single word, and last year it was life-giving. And I remember thinking, have I been very life-giving this year? I remember feeling a little bit ordinary and questioning how life-giving I'd been. And I wonder how many of you have felt ordinary with everything that's happened in the past year in the middle of a pandemic. Sometimes you can get to the end of your day, and because you're not out and about as much, you feel like you haven't achieved very much. And you can make yourself feel very ordinary. Maybe some of you homeschool moms, you felt very ordinary this week. Maybe pop it in the chat if you've had an ordinary week. And I remember just my voice, my heart speaking to God, feeling very ordinary myself. And as I was thinking this and pondering on it, I felt God say to me, Rachel, am I still God? Am I still on the throne? Am I not an extraordinary God? Did I not create you in my image? So therefore, you are extraordinary. So he challenged me to give him my ordinary, and he was going to add his extra. So I knew right then that my word for this year was extraordinary. And that's the message I want to bring to you this morning, Soul Church, to you near and far, wherever you're watching from, to you as an individual sat on your settee right now. An extraordinary life is possible. The definition of extraordinary, I looked in the Cambridge Dictionary and Merriam-Webster, it says very unusual, unexpected, going beyond what is usual, arranged for a special purpose. The cinnamons, oh, I always get that word wrong, synonyms. We'll sprinkle a bit of cinnamon on the message, shall we? Who likes a bit of cinnamon? Exceptional or outstanding. How many would like an exceptional going further than ever gone before marriage this year? You would like your business to be arranged for a special, unique purpose. You would like to go beyond what is usual in your family. This world is actually counting on us as the church to be extraordinary. Your friends and your family are counting on you to be extraordinary. Don't settle for ordinary. Don't wait for extraordinary opportunities. Grab the ordinary opportunities and make them extraordinary with God's help. Add His extra to your ordinary. We serve an extraordinary God. You might be sitting there saying, yeah, that's all well and good, Rach. You're on the platform. You're a pastor. You're full of faith. Tell you what, there's moments when I'm very flat. In fact, Pastor Chantel and I talked about this. A few of us, sometimes being flat is the most dangerous place to be because you're not down. Because if you're really down, you'd call on God and you'd tell people to help you. But sometimes just flat is just nothingness. It's ordinary. And Pastor Chantel gave a prophetic word over some of our team in the room last week. I wanted to pop that in the chat. If you felt flat at all, or maybe some of you felt like you're just not feeling very extraordinary. In fact, it might be safer for you to stay ordinary. Yeah. Extraordinary is too much pressure. Maybe you've been disappointed. I had disappointments again. I'm fighting through the fact that my daughter Melody in Australia is 21 this Tuesday and I can't be with her. And we've sent some money so she can have a beautiful party, and then some lockdowns are happening in Australia. She's frustrated because she won't be able to have or may not be able to celebrate her 21st. And these things can make you feel frustrated and disappointed. You've all got your stories similar to mine. Maybe, just maybe, God can use our flatness, our very ordinariness, our disappointments, our frailty, our weakness, to allow His light to shine in the darkness, to allow His strength to make perfect in our weakness, so that we don't just survive, but we thrive. God doesn't just want us to get through, to make it through this season, but to come through victorious. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7 in the Passion says, we are like common clay jars. We're ordinary. But we carry within us this glorious treasure, so that the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's, not ours. That extraordinary in you will be seen by others. That's God. His extraordinary in our ordinary. His treasure in our clay. His supernatural in our natural. His ability in our inability. His strength in our weakness. Thank God. How many need some extra in your ordinary? In the chat, Laura Hollinger said she's definitely felt ordinary this week. Some of us need His extra for our ordinary. I'm believing that for you, Laura, this week. All things are possible when we allow God's extra to add to our ordinary. So how can we add this extra to our ordinary life where all things are possible? First of all, an extraordinary spirit. If there's one person in the Bible who stands out and rises above a very ordinary life, it would be Daniel. In 786 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, besieged Jerusalem, actually burnt Jerusalem to the ground. Daniel was captured and human trafficked to Babylon. He was forced to work in the king's palace, but the Bible said this about him. It says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps, that's just the wise men in the king's court, because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king intended to appoint him over the entire kingdom. This was a less than ideal situation. He's in a foreign land, foreign language, foreign food. He's everything about his situation was like, where's my family? Where's, how can I still praise God? Yet a pagan king recognized he was extraordinary. See, an extraordinary spirit is not about what happens to you. It's about what happens inside you. When you have an extraordinary spirit, it spills out into every area of your life. In your church, your relationships, your finance, you see opportunities that others don't see. You see the positive in situations. You want to bring out the best in people. You choose not to get offended. You're generous in your comments and your encouragement of others. You always give honor to God for what he's doing in your daily life. And your daily choices reflect what's going on, your core values on the inside. It's actually very attractive. He wants to be more attractive. Daniel caught the eye of the king. And another reason why he wanted to promote Daniel was because Daniel stayed true to his convictions. The king might not have recognized what was going on, but Daniel actually said no to the food offered in the king's court. You see, much of the meat and the wine and its delicacies had been offered to idols and used in demon worship. So Daniel, the Bible says, chose not to defile himself. He didn't eat those foods because he wanted to keep himself separate and holy and close to God because he knew he needed it in this situation. So Pastor John just talked about the Daniel fast. This is where it comes from. And he chose to eat fruit and vegetables. And he became so healthy as he did this. But you know what? He would have been under great pressure to fit in the king's court and to go along with ordinary. See, we can just go along with ordinary in our culture, but I want to challenge the young people that are watching. For each one of us, what do we need to say no to in this season to stop us from being ordinary to extraordinary, to dedicate our spirit, soul, and body to come closer to the living God? As Pastor John said, to believe for COVID to be eradicated once and for all, we are choosing not only to set aside those things that are denying what we maybe enjoy, but we are also committing to pray. The key to Daniel's extraordinary spirit is not only denying certain foods, but was his determined, diligent relationship with an extraordinary God. If there's a time when the church needs to pray, it's now. Jealous colleagues of Daniel tried to stop him from praying, and they got the king to issue a law that nobody could pray to anyone else but the king. When Daniel knew this writing was signed, it said in Daniel 6:10, he went home. He went to his upper room with his windows open. He knelt down on his knees 3 times in that day, and he prayed. He gave thanks before his God as was his custom since the early days. Daniel didn't just pray once a day. He didn't just pray twice a day. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, every day, and had done since he was very young. He didn't allow the change in his surroundings to stop him from praying because he knew it was the secret to his extraordinary spirit. I've realized I don't focus enough on prayer. I probably spend more time reading the word than I do pray. And I've been challenged to actually get on my knees and pray more this year. Sometimes my greatest memory, Pastor John asked some of us at New Year's, in around New Year, what's been your favorite memory of last year? And I remember being on our knees in this building, the last service we had in March, and the presence of God was so powerful. You can have that in your home, in your bedroom, in your lounge room. I believe it gets God's attention. Or maybe you can go for a walk and pray. Go to a special spot. Go to a chair. Brian Houston said, when ordinary people pray, extraordinary things happen. Not only do we pray and it builds us up, but your prayers go where you can't go. There's people in our church that are sick at the minute and we can't go into their home, but our prayers can go into their home. Our prayers can go over to Australia for me to be with my daughter. Our prayers can go to America where those prayers are needed right now. Not only did Daniel have extraordinary spirit, secondly, he had an extraordinary wisdom. God wants us to have extraordinary wisdom this year. Daniel 5:14, the king at the time, he served under three kings in Babylon. I have heard about you that there is a spirit of the gods in you and that you have insight, discernment, and extraordinary wisdom. A pagan king noticed this, and wisdom will promote your influence. People will want to be around you. The world needs wisdom more than ever. Wisdom is like insight. It's discernment. It's godly common sense. Insight is to see inside a situation. To see things that others don't see. Wisdom and faith go hand in hand. Faith is believing that you won't get sick. Faith is believing that you'll be healed. Wisdom is obeying and listening and taking advice to health, government officials, professionals, eating well, sleeping well, exercising, taking your vitamins. Wisdom and faith go hand in hand. Daniel had an extraordinary spirit, but he also had extraordinary wisdom. Some of you are really extraordinary with your faith. Some of you are wisdom people. I believe our pastor John actually has a great combination of faith and wisdom. We're in good hands with Pastor John and Chantel. Some of you might ask at times, what does it mean to have wisdom? How can I have? I always go to James chapter 3 in verse 17. It says, the wisdom that's from above is pure. It's peace-loving. It's courteous. It's gentle. It's considerate. It's willing to yield. Full of compassion. And I'll often say, God, am I full of compassion? Am I willing to yield? But God is going to give you a new wisdom this year. Some of you young people, he's going to give you more wisdom for decisions and choices in life. For your exams, some of you heard that GCSEs aren't happening this year. Can I encourage you? God will still bring you through and you will succeed. Faith is praying that you'll get good grades. Wisdom is continuing to study and put that time aside. I remember my daughter Melody, when she was stressed out in her last year of exams in Australia. She was taking the QCS Queensland certificate of, I can't remember what it stood for, but we sat on her bed and she was like, Mom, I've got so much to study and I don't know whether to do this or do this. And she was very diligent. And so I said, let's join together and let's pray that God will show you where you need to study most and that he will anoint you and equip you. And she was getting to learn more and more about the Holy Spirit coming alongside and being the helper. And so we prayed. That night, she had a dream. Melody dreamt of a question that would be on her English exam paper. They were to write an essay and they were given a stimulus. The next day, she researched this particular subject. And over the next week, she memorized, she wrote an essay of what she'd seen in the dream, and she'd memorized all the quotes and the dates. She showed it to us. When she went into her final exam, that question was on her exam paper. She said to me, I asked her again about the details last night. She could write it out word for word because she'd memorized it. It meant that she was relaxed and able to focus more on other things. God is able to give you wisdom, whether you're young. Wisdom's not just for the older people, it's for the younger as well. So extraordinary spirit, extraordinary wisdom. Number three, extraordinary miracles. We're believing for that in these next few weeks. It wasn't only these amazing stories in the Old Testament, but in the early church through the Apostle Paul, Acts 19:11, God kept releasing a flow of extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul. We're living in, I believe, extraordinary days right now. When things are tough, you're more likely to see miracles because how many know we need them? And so a year of extraordinary, an extraordinary life is made up of a year of 365 extraordinary days. For extraordinary days, we need extraordinary help. We need extraordinary gifts. And God has given gifts to all believers to live extraordinary lives through His Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:9, Paul wrote, "To another by faith, the same Holy Spirit, to another the extraordinary power of healing by the same Spirit." Extraordinary power and gifts are given to every believer. Margaret Stund is my mentor in Australia. She's been a pastor, she's a teacher, she's a preacher, travels the world and preaches. She has wisdom. She's an amazing woman of God, and she encouraged Steve and I during this past year and the lockdowns we've had, keep stirring up the gifts that are within you. She spoke on our Accelerate course. We've been running a course for young leaders and pastors, and the final thing she said on this Zoom course one night, we said, "Is there one thing you'd like to leave with us?" And she challenged those pastors and leaders, "What gifts of the Holy Spirit are you currently using in your life?" See, sometimes we can be so consumed with the ordinary that we forget that God has given us gifts. And it's not just for the elite spiritual few, it's for all of us. And I want to encourage you, if you want to know more, pop it in the chat. Let someone know and we can talk to you. We'd love to contact you to tell you more. But some of those gifts are the spirit of knowledge, the gift of wisdom, the gift of spiritual insight, the gift of prophecy, encouraging people, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of tongues and interpretations. Allow God's power to work within you in the normal everyday life. Some of the greatest miracles in the Bible are in the book of Daniel. You know, Daniel in the lion's den that some of us had as Bible stories growing up, and the fiery furnace where there's another in the fire. You know, when Jesus comes into the fire and rescues, the writing on the wall. But the key thing, they're not just Bible stories for little kids. They are stories that demonstrate God's sovereignty over a nation, over pagan kings, over government. God demonstrates His protection over people in dire circumstances. God demonstrates His power that no matter how desperate the situation, and it doesn't get a lot worse than being fed to lions because you pray. In fact, let's go to the scripture. It says in Daniel 6, the king had been up all night because the king actually thought a lot of Daniel and he'd been tricked into passing this law. The king spoke to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God." The king acknowledged he was a living God, "whom you serve continually. Has he been able to deliver you from the lions?" The first key for miracles, serving God continually. "My God sent the angel," Daniel said. "He shut the lions' mouths. They have not hurt me." And Daniel was taken up out of the den, and there was no injury whatsoever, not even a scratch, because he believed in his God. He served God continually. He believed in his God. And then King Darius wrote to all people, all nations, all languages that dwell on the earth. He pretty much gave a rule to the whole known earth. "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God." Miracles will always point people to Jesus. And part of what we're praying for, Pastor John said, is souls to be saved. I'm believing for miracles that people will hear. We had Pastor Steve Penny speaking in between Christmas and New Year, and he prophesied that our church would be known for healing and for miracles, and that people would move or would visit Soul Church, that they could experience healing. Daniel's key to extraordinary miracles is found in the middle of the book in Daniel 11:32. It says, listen to this, are you ready? Are you ready in the chat? Is this helping you? Is this encouraging you? Thank you, Alma, great word. Someone is saying love to you, thank you, love to you. This is the key, are you ready? Daniel 11:32, "The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." When you know someone really well, you're more likely to ask them for help. You're more likely to ask them for a favor. When we know God, we know He wants the best for us. We know He loves us. We know that He will do what He said He will do. We know He's a good God and wants to give good gifts to His children. So it strengthens our asking potential. Sometimes we need faith like a little child. We need to stir that. I could have talked about a big miracle right now, and there's lots of big miracles and healings we've seen over the years, but I chose to talk about a very ordinary day. I was sat in church, and this is a story about losing a diamond from my ring. I was sat in church in Brisbane. I looked down and the diamond had gone. See, this ring was very important because it was given to me after a 36-hour labor with Melody, our first baby. Now, Norfolk and Norwich, I've told you before, Steve was found crying his eyes out because he thought I was going to die. I looked terrible. And he went down to Norwich and he went in a jeweler's and he bought me this ring to say, well done, honey. And so I sat in church this morning in Brisbane and realized my diamond had disappeared. And I was so gutted because I thought it could be in the car park, it could be in the building, it could be in the shower, it could be anywhere. And I didn't know how long it had been gone. And Mercy was talking about miracles in Hillsong Kids at the time. And she was about six. And she said to me in the car on the way home, and she's in the room, she said, Mom, I'm going to believe God that He's going to show me where your diamond is. And I remember thinking, oh, I didn't want to dampen her faith because sometimes we need faith like little children. I went to bed that night and she prayed that God would show her where my diamond is. I said to Steve when we went to bed, I said, I didn't really want to tell her. It might not happen, darling. But I said, can we just pray? Not so much that I need it back, but for her sake. And so we prayed. She woke me up at 7 o'clock the next morning with this little diamond in her hand. And she said, Mom, I found your diamond. I said, where the heck did you find? She said, I'd been on the floor crawling after the cat and it was underneath the settee. Now, God had used that little ordinary thing to add His extra that built faith in Mercy to believe for more. And I remember then she started praying for everything and believing for miracles. So you can have an extraordinary spirit, an extraordinary wisdom, extraordinary miracles, and 4 extraordinary dreams. Who's ready for some extraordinary dreams? The book of Daniel is full of dreams and visions. The fact the first half of Daniel, he interprets dreams for the kings. The second part, he gives dreams and visions predicting 600 years before Jesus came that Jesus the Messiah would come. He actually gives dreams and visions that Jesus is coming back again soon one day. But Daniel uses this gift of interpreting dreams. In Daniel 5:12, it says, because of an extraordinary spirit of knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of riddles, and solving of difficult problems was found in this Daniel. This extraordinary gift, he would speak up even when it wasn't popular. And Daniel spoke when he was before King Nebuchadnezzar, who'd had a dream. Daniel said, King, he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. He always pointed to God as the one that gives the dream and interprets, that you may know the thoughts of your heart. God will always get glory for a dream, and a dream will show and help you articulate what is in your heart. Can I encourage you, those dreams that are in your heart, even though you might have been through a challenging time, even though you might be frustrated that it's not happening yet. This week, I started feeling again, looking back on my dreams, feeling like they've become a bit distant. They've become a bit ordinary. Didn't want to plan too much in case I'm disappointed. Anyone felt like that? Pop it in the chat. I thought back to a destiny-defining afternoon when God spoke to me a few years back in Brisbane, walking around the park, literally took me through my life and showed me how he'd prepared me to preach his word, to build his church, that we would serve God together as a family. And I remember sharing this amazing encounter, and I dropped down on my knees when I got back home in the living room. I've shared it with you when I've preached before. And I literally felt his hand on my head, and there was such a release and a buoyancy, but a determination when I realized this dream was from God. But I noticed during a pandemic, it can become ordinary again. The enemy can belittle your dream, and you can become too busy and distracted to think it's very important. I remember Pastor Gary Clark came and visited Norwich back in September, I think, and he spoke to our staff. And at the end, he gave me a prophetic, when I say a prophetic word, it's just a word of encouragement. And he said to me, God has seen your dreams, Rach. He's seen your tears, and he's working it together for good. And I remember coming out of there and sharing it with Pastor Chantel. And I thought about it for that day, and then I just got busy with this season that we're in. And then at Christmas, New Year's Eve, I called my brother Aaron in Australia. And they're sat around the table about to have their dinner on New Year's Eve. And we're chatting and lighthearted. And then Aaron's father-in-law looks at me on the FaceTime and he says, Rachel, God has seen your dreams. He's seen your tears. And he's bringing it together. He's working it together for good. It will come to pass. I started to cry on FaceTime. Like, it's supposed to be fun. It's Christmas. They're about to eat their cheese board platter and their garlic bread and their everything. And I'm in tears. I made light of it. And I joked. And Aaron, my brother, joked a bit and said, you know, okay, Rach, sorry we made you cry. I came off that. And I felt God speak to me straight away. Rachel, do not make light of my word. Some of you have had words spoken over you and dreams that have been in your heart that have become very ordinary and you've made light of it. It's time to listen to those ordinary dreams, stir them up, even though they've become delayed or disappointed. C.S. Lewis says, hardships can often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. Don't let the enemy steal your dream of a blessed family. Don't let him steal those gifts and passions that you have. A dream is a projected destiny, a future that God has for you. Don't settle. Don't allow yourself to become stagnant. A dream will keep you moving forwards. What he's called in your life, he will complete in your life. What he's promised in your life, he will perform in your life. In the last days, God said in Acts 2, I will pour my spirit on everybody. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men experience dreams from God. The Holy Spirit will come upon the servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. I will show mighty miracles on the earth. God is calling each one of us to have a new dream, something that's in your heart. Encourage each other with it. It says the young and the old, the men and the women, whether you've served God for a short time, whether it's been many years. I want to encourage you, young people, speak a word of encouragement to one of your friends this week. Leaders, speak into your youth this week. Parents, speak life into your children. I want to encourage you to write down the dreams that are in your heart. Habakkuk 2:2 says, the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain that he who run may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. It will not lie. So the vision, the dream is for an appointed time. Let it speak. Even though it tarries, even though it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. I'm declaring that into your living room to you today. Wait, even though it delays, it will surely come. The just will live by faith. So write your dream. Some of you might be brave enough to write them in the chat. Some of you need to write them down on a journal. There's something about writing something down. When we take notes in church, when we write something that God has spoken to us, we're more likely to do it. Write your dream, read your dream, run with your dream. It'll keep you moving forwards. Listen and have faith for your dream. Your race is more swift if you have a dream. So extraordinary spirit, extraordinary wisdom, extraordinary miracles, and extraordinary dreams are yours in Jesus' name. I referred to a story at the beginning when I was walking along the field in Attlebridge, and God gave me the word extraordinary. I got home to my living room, I opened the Bible, and I found 12 scriptures with the word extraordinary. And I decided to make these my daily dozen. Every day this year, I've decided to thank God for these 12 extraordinary attributes and declare them in my life. The last one I was going to share with you is extraordinary patience. God is patient and kind to us. And we need patience with each other, but we need patience to see the dream and the miracles come to pass. So these are my 12, and they're going to be up on the screen. And maybe you can take a screenshot of them or jot them down. Extraordinary power I've talked to you about. Extraordinary miracles. Extraordinary revelation of God's word. Extraordinary message. We are carriers of the message of God. Extraordinary character and spirit. Extraordinary compassion. Extraordinary favor. I'm believing for that to do what God has called you to do. Extraordinary dreams. Extraordinary wisdom. Extraordinary patience. Extraordinary grace and extraordinary kindness. Declare those over your life this year that you are not created to be ordinary. You are created to be extraordinary. Give God your ordinary everyday life, it says in Romans 12, and place it before God as an offering, and He will make it extraordinary. I wonder, as we close and get ready to move on to the next part of the service, how many of you today have not yet experienced the extraordinary message of what Jesus came to the earth, die on a cross, to rise again? The extraordinary message that He didn't just come because it's part of history and be a good man and create miracles on earth. He came because He loved us. He loved the whole world. He loved you in your living room, whether you're listening to this now or later. Maybe you're out for a walk. Maybe you're listening to this as a podcast. He loves you. It says in Romans 1:16, this is the good news I'm proud to proclaim. This extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts Him. The person in right standing before God by trusting Him really lives. He wants you to experience real life. Abundant life, the Bible says. Life to the full. An extraordinary life only comes when you connect yourself to the source of extraordinary, which is the living God. I want to extend to you an invitation right now. Whatever your background, whatever has happened, whatever has been ordinary or extraordinary, God's extraordinary patience is reaching out to you, and He loves you. His extraordinary kindness, His extraordinary grace, giving you what is undeserved. He's reaching out His arms and saying, come to me. You might not understand it all, young person, older person. But you know that right now, at the beginning of the year, you want to know for sure that you are a believer, that you're a Christian, that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And it just means to ask Him into your heart and life. And I'm going to pray a very simple but powerful prayer in a moment. And I want to include as many as possible, far and wide, in your living room, wherever you're watching from, in England, around the world. This prayer is for you. Maybe you've once served God and walked with God, but you've walked away. and your relationship with God has become ordinary, or maybe it's become cold and almost non-existent, He wants to bring that thing of the past into the present. So can I pray for you? Maybe if you've got confidence, you could pray after me in your living room, wherever you are, and in the room. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for this extraordinary message that you came to this world, that you died for me. I ask that you would forgive me of going life my own way. I choose you. I thank you for eternal life. Help me to serve you. Help me to live an extraordinary life. I'm coming back today in Jesus' name. Amen. For each one of you that prayed that prayer and meant it, we are so excited for you. And we want to give you a massive applause, cheering you on. We're jumping around the place. And if we could come into your home, we'd be patting you on the back and we'd be saying, well done, the best decision you will make at the start of 2021. In fact, in your whole life. When you're right with God, you'll be right in other relationships. And we'd love to give you a Bible, but we can't physically get one in your hand. So we'd encourage you to say something on the chat, or there's a number on the screen. Text that number, and when we can talk to you, we can call you, we can encourage you. And I want to encourage you to jump on the YouVersion, and you can download the Bible and read some of the things I've talked about today. And may your life become even more extraordinary now that you have Jesus Christ in the center. And for everyone that's been listening today, I declare an extraordinary life is possible in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.